Heir's Echo is a series regarding notorious errors and heresies that have threatened the church over the centuries. Today we hear about Catharism. Catharism was the inner core in a nesting egg of heresy. Catharism was nested in Manichaean belief, nested into dualism, nested into Gnosticism. It is no wonder that it was named the Great Heresy. What we know about the Cathars comes predominantly from what the Catholic Church in medieval times wrote against them. Cathar, a name given by the Church, is derived from the Greek word meaning clean or pure, katharos. The Cathars believed in a good God and a bad God. This is basic dualism. The bad God was God of all material things. This included the human body, in which he imprisoned souls. Abstaining from all earthly temptations and leading a life of fasting and self-denial kept the bad God at bay. The good God was the God of all immaterial things such as light and souls. Salvation was accomplished by shedding the material body and achieving perfection, a salvation that would ultimately include all human beings. The road to salvation might require several reincarnations. The church first responded to the Cathar errors with preaching and public debates. However, when uneducated common laborers defending Catharism won debates against leading theologians, the spread of Catharism was not slowed. Church kept trying new ways to slow Catharism spread. Preaching didn't work. Debates hadn't worked. Propaganda didn't work. What was next? A crusade. In 1208, a papal representative to the Cathars was murdered. And that was a spark that started the crusading fire, an inferno that would rage for decades. The Pope offered forgiveness of sins and a place in heaven to those who would battle the Cathars. Crusaders sacked the city of Béziers in France in 1209. As they were storming the walls, they asked how they could tell good Christians from the heretics. The papal representative responded, "Kill them all. God will know his own." As the church's pressure increased, the Cathars went underground and became a secret society. The next step in the church's eradication plan was begun by Pope Gregory the Ninth in 1227. Gregory sent inquisitors into the districts to find heretics. Cathars were threatened and intimidated to denounce Catharism and give information about other Cathars. The Cathars' last big stand was at the fortress of Montségur in 1244. The Crusaders constructed a massive pyre at the base of the rock. The Cathars who renounced their sin and accepted absolution would go free, but 200 refused and sang hymns as they walked into the flames. The Crusade and Inquisition left southern France devastated, and more than 500,000 people dead. By 1325, Catharism had truly disappeared from Western Europe. The history of Catharism is quite sad. It tells of a group of people who identified many things that were wrong in the external church and reacted against them, but they didn't pursue the truth of God's word. So they railed against the church with the dull sword of heresy instead of the living, active, and sharp sword of the Spirit. On the other hand, the church of the day reacted to the heresy not with the sword of the Spirit, but with the swords of steel. The most significant echo from Catharism is rebounding from the past in words of warning and encouragement. The echoes warn against the wrong ways of combating Satan's efforts. They encourage us to use the gospel for winning souls who are lost in the maze of unbelief. It is the still small voice, wielding the mighty sword of the Spirit, that will prevail. As Paul writes in Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This article was written by Wayne Eichstead, pastor of Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Spokane Valley, Washington.